We've been looking at Jesus' parables found in Matthew chapter 13. And the first two parables that we looked at were the parables, or the first week we looked at the parables of the tares and the wheat. And then last week we talked about the parables of the mustard seed and of the leaven. And so the next two in the chapter are the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. The parable of the hidden treasure is found in Matthew 13, verse 44. And I'll have it up on the screen for you here. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. All right, so this parable is found only in Matthew. And this is the first parable that Jesus is telling just to his disciples. Remember, the first four parables in this section were told to the crowd. And then now Jesus has retreated to a home and he's just with his disciples. This is the first of the last four, and the first three of these all start with, the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus is changing his tone a little bit, talking to the crowds about repenting and all these things that are happening in the world. But now he's with the disciples and he's talking to them about, what is the kingdom of God like? Now if we look at the first two parables in this chapter, the parable of the soils and the parable of the sower, they kind of are pessimistic. As we talked about. In the first parable, the birds eat the seed, and not all the seed gets planted, and only a little bit of the seed falls in good soil. And in the second parable with the wheat and the tares, we have all those tares and weeds amongst the wheat, and so that's drowning out the wheat, and they're going to be cut down. Then we look at the next two parables, and we talked about last week that they could go either way. We have kind of a transition. The parable of the mustard seeds, we either talk about the birds attacking the plant, or we talk about the way that the plant is growing quickly as the kingdom of God. Then we have the growth of the kingdom with the leaven, either talking about the leaven infecting the wheat or the bread, or the gospel permeating the world. Now these last four parables have a markedly different take on things. They are more optimistic in their outlook. And I think that it's important to notice that now that Jesus is with his disciples, that emphasis changes now. He's talking to the crowds about repenting and turning away from their sin. Now he's talking to his disciples and saying, this is why you're doing what you're doing. The kingdom of God is like. And so the first thing we need to look at is, what do we know about this parable? There are some things that we know for sure about this parable before we get into the symbolism that is kind of tricky. And so I think there's a handout in your bulletin, there should be, that'll go through some of these things with us. So the treasure, literally the word treasure translated means accumulated wealth in the form of money, jewels, or other valuables. So this is not just one treasure, not just one piece of gold. This is an amount of treasure that is great. The treasure, it says, was hidden, which means literally to be concealed or to be hidden. And when it says that it was discovered, that literally means to come upon as if by accident. So the man accidentally stumbles upon this treasure. He was not actively searching for it. Now, in a land as frequently ravaged as Palestine, people did bury their treasure in their fields. Because when the raiders would come in and take over, they wouldn't know where to look for the treasure because it was buried. And so it was not uncommon for people to bury the treasure. Now, the law read that if you found a buried treasure and lifted it out of the ground, that treasure belonged to the field's owner. But if you just found the treasure and then recovered it, it was not considered found, so you didn't have to report it to anyone. So though this man reburies the treasure and we think, well, that doesn't seem kind of, well, it seems a little shady. That's not the point of the parable. So we need to look beyond that and look at these other elements of the parable. Now there's five basic views, and I put those on your outline, about what the man, the field, and the treasure represent. And so some say that we have to be consistent. We say, well, the man has to be the same in all these parables in this chapter. But as we've already talked about, the seed itself changes what it means from parable to parable, even right next to each other. So we have to look at the context of the parable and talk about what is Jesus really trying to convey. So the first view is that the treasure is Jesus. Jesus is hidden in the field, and the field is the Bible. And so Jesus is hidden in Scripture. And so we as the man go through and we dig through the scriptures and we study and we learn about scripture. And through that, we are shown the treasure of Jesus. Now, the problems with this view are that nowhere else in scripture is a field referred to as scripture or the Bible. And the question begs, why are we re-hiding it once we find it? If we find Jesus in the scriptures, why are we then hiding it again? Another question is, how can we really own the scriptures? How can we really own the field in this case? So option two is the field is the world, and Jesus is the man, and the treasure is Israel. Israel is called God's special treasure in other parts of Scripture. They're referred to as God's special people, his royal diadem. And it was for Israel's sake that God bought the world, and therefore he's displaying his greatness among the nations by paying for the price of the world to redeem his treasure, which is Israel. The problem with this view is that the Jews are one of God's treasures, but not exclusively God's treasure. And so what is the significance, again, of re-hiding the treasure? Once he finds Israel, why is he putting Israel essentially back in the ground after he finds it? The other thing is that in this parable, the man stumbles upon the treasure. So are we saying that Jesus just stumbled upon Israel, as opposed to being his chosen people who he knows? So those are the issues with that view. View number three is that Jesus is the man, and the church is the treasure, and the field is the world. Both the church and the world belong to God, and the world was not purchased for its own sake with Jesus' blood. It was purchased for the church, because the church is the treasure that is contained within the world. The problem, again, is that the man stumbles upon the treasure. So is it really possible that Jesus didn't do this deliberately? Can an all-knowing God truly stumble upon anything if he truly knows everything? And doesn't the world already belong to him? If you change that view slightly and say that the field is really all the people and the treasure is God's people, then you say that Jesus gave up his life for the sake of all people, even though only a small portion of the treasure or those believers. The fourth view is that treasure is humankind, God's ultimate creation, the treasure. But sin enters the world, but taints the beauty of God's creation. And that beauty is hidden like treasure. And at creation, Jesus sees the beauty of his creation. He says, man and woman is created in God's image. And we are pleased, and it is pleasing to him. But then when sin enters the world, that beauty is then buried. That God's image is then buried into the world. Then when Jesus pays the price for our sins and pays on the cross for our sins, then the treasure is rediscovered. And again, therefore, he's buying the treasure. Problems with this again? Again, does Jesus not already own the world? And who is Jesus buying the world from? And does he just again stumble across? Now the fifth view is to say, we don't know who the man is. He's just the guy in the story. We don't know what the treasure is. It's just something buried in the ground that the guy happens to come across that he finds out is of great value. So he sells everything he has in order to own the field and the treasure in it. And there's no great parallels between the symbolism of the man, the treasure, or the field. The point, then, is that the kingdom is like treasure. It's worth selling everything you have in order to gain it. It goes to show how valuable the kingdom is compared to everything else. This man sells everything he has in order to get the treasure that is buried into it. So this parable speaks of our priorities, and it talks about that our treasure is what our focus should be on, the treasure being God's kingdom. This man is joyfully abandoning everything he has in order to get this treasure. And when we fully grasp the kingdom's value, we will also joyfully give up everything we have for the sake of the kingdom. Now the problem with this view is that you have to abandon the idea that there's symbolism in everything in a parable. And the man ends up with two possessions. He ends up with the treasure and the field instead of just one or the other. So now you get to decide again. Of those two views, turn to a partner close to you and talk about which one of those five you think is the right one. All right. Some of you are getting really deep in this, and some of you not so deep, but that's okay. What did you come up with? What did you decide? So you're coming up with option six. Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. So option six, and then how about the rest of you? What did you come up with? Did you come up with any of them? All of them? They all have their positives and negatives, don't they? Just like the other parables. But in this case, it seems to me, unlike last week where I'm going to say, I don't know, and it was just ambiguous, it seems to me that option five is the best fit. Where this is a parable focusing on the fact that the man stumbles upon the treasure, which is God's kingdom, God's gospel, Jesus Christ, and then he sells everything for the sake of getting that treasure. There's a bad interpretation, a way of interpreting scripture called allegorizing the text. And that means that you take every story in the Bible and you put a spiritual emphasis on every single thing in every single story. And there's lots of examples of doing this throughout the scriptures. Some of the biggest ones would be when Peter walks on water. People allegorize the text to say that means in order to do something, we need to do what Peter did and step out onto the water. And that's spiritually representative of us taking a step of faith. And while that's a good principle, and that could be a good example of maybe doing that, is that what Jesus' point was in telling that story? Absolutely not. He was recounting Peter's faith by walking on water, not giving us an example of how we're supposed to do that. So that tendency to do something like that is even greater when we're talking about a parable. And so we want to do the same thing with parable because everything has a hidden meaning. We're kind of like conspiracy theorists when it comes to parable interpretation. Everything means something. And so I think that if we step back from that need to put some meaning to everything, we see that in the greater setting of this, it really is about there's a cost to following Jesus. And this man is willing to give up everything he has for that one thing, to own that treasure, to be part of God's kingdom. Now, I would argue that the next parable has basically the same point. And the next parable is the pearl of great price. And it's also only in Matthew. And it's in Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." So here we have a man seeking fine pearls. This time he's seeking something. He's probably a pearl merchant of some sort. And he comes and he recognizes this pearl of great value, and he sells all that he has in order to attain it. Notice it doesn't say that he sold all his other pearls. His pearl collection is what he got rid of. No, he got rid of every single thing he had in order to attain this one invaluable pearl. These two parables are considered twin parables. They're both unique, but they're both stressing the same basic principle. They both point to the value of the kingdom of God and what value we should be placing on following Christ. Both of these figures in these parables give up everything they have for the sole purpose of gaining the kingdom of God. Are you, as a person sitting in this room in Hayes, Kansas, willing to give up everything you have in order to follow Jesus? That's what the men in these parables did. They recognized the value of following Jesus. They recognized the value of these treasures. And they don't begrudgingly say, okay, I have to follow God. I have to buy this treasure now. Look at all this stuff I have to give up. They joyfully give up everything else because they understand what it is they are buying. They understand the value of the kingdom of God. I think that if we could really grasp this concept of how important and how valuable following God is, it would not be so hard for us to shed off these other things that are dragging us down and being distractions. Because that's how valuable the kingdom is. That's how valuable putting Christ first in our lives is. But instead of focusing on the value of the treasure, what do we focus on? All the stuff we have to sell. If we had that treasure and saw that treasure and said, okay, the treasure costs X amount of dollars, we'd probably go through our house, okay, I could sell this, I could sell this, I could sell this. Oh, but I'm going to keep this. Not going to give up that. Oh. And then we spiritualize it, right? We say, well, God wouldn't want me to give up that. I'm sure God would never ask me to give up that. And that's how we justify it to ourselves. But when it comes right down to it, God has called us to give up everything in search of the one thing, the treasure, the pearl. And that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so I challenge you as you go through this week, think about that treasure. Think about that pearl. Think about in every situation in your life this week, am I giving up what I need to give up in order to focus on what really matters? To focus on that treasure, to focus on that pearl. Because in the end, that's all that really matters. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you have given us this pearl, that you have given us this treasure that we can seek. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through Scripture and through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that as we are challenged daily to make you first in our lives, that you would give us the courage, and not only the courage, God, but the joy of seeking you first, making you the most important thing in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.